To the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
Hi, Doug. It's great to have you in the studio.
It's good to be here.
The month is flying by. We've got a lot of news. Why don't we jump right on the news?
Yeah, well, Denver is apparently, if not the center of a terrorism investigation, it's definitely a vector point.
Yeah, the FBI has arrested a terrorist and his terrorist father.
Yeah, and the guy's name is Najibullah Zazi.
Well, I've never
Najibullah.
Worked for NPR,
Najibullah.
So I can't pronounce the,
you're
know,
supposed to
the
say
ethnic.
It, you're supposed to say it with an Afghan.
How do you say it?
Najibullah Zazi.
Okay, I just call him Abdul Idrul Muhammad.
No, wait a minute. His father's name was Muhammad.
Of course.
In more ways than one, I suppose. His father, so, Muhammad Zazi.
Could we just call him Abdul Idrul Muhammad?
Okay,
so,
I'll go with that.
Idrul.
Fewer vowels. It's easier to.
24-year-old Idrul was arrested, right?
Yeah.
A terrorist wannabe. And I'm thrilled that the FBI is on this stuff. I mean, I am encouraged. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I'm glad. And they're still looking. You know, the last I heard, they were. They were tracking a dozen people here in New York,
mm-hmm.
and they're still looking to possibly expand the net to catch more terrorists.
Yeah, that's great. I think that the government, of course, you know, we could have done so much better, but I think we've done reasonably well since 9/11 going after Al-Qaeda type operatives.
Yeah, I remember right after 9/11, a lot of people, myself included, were afraid that. You know, that was just round one, that the terrorists
it was
just
the first
getting started.
Wave.
Yeah.
And everybody was braced for the second, you know, the next day. And Doug, I do recall I was on the air during 9/11 as the last plane was, you know, coming down in Pennsylvania. And I remember indicating, you know, we had said while the story was still breaking and we were Christian right-wing talk show host.
Right. You didn't have access
Larry
to FBI
Bates,
files.
Larry Bates, Information Radio Network, Bob Enyart Live. We were on together out of the IRN News headquarters reporting about the story. And I remember we were talking about Osama bin Laden.
Right.
Some people were saying this was the Palestinians.
Yeah.
And we said, no, they couldn't quite. Arafat couldn't quite.
Doubt he could pull that off.
No.
Now, did you
but
have? Did
it
you,
was Osama bin Laden.
You mentioned Osama bin Laden by name on 9/11. Now,
that's
did you
right.
have a bat phone that went right to the CIA headquarters?
No, but
there
they,
in the studio,
they knew it soon enough.
Yeah.
But we were Christians, you know. But Christians talk about these kinds of threats,
right.
against America, against Israel, against the world from Islamic terrorism. So it wasn't a surprise. But I also remember saying that the A-team was dead.
I remember that.
The A-team was dead.
All their best guys.
Their best guys are all dead. It's not like they have, you know, six teams deep of Navy SEALs ready to go. And this was the first, this was the Apache helicopters coming in to take out the anti-aircraft installation. This was, their A-team was dead.
Now all they have is Abdul Idrul.
Abdul Idrul Muhammad.
Idrul is all they got left.
Yeah.
And they can't seem to get it together, which is good for us. Or maybe it's just that the FBI and the CIA and certain governing officials are paying attention
to
this.
Do you know how many terrorists are named Muhammad?
A lot of them.
And if it's not outright Muhammad, you know how many have, it's weird, how many have Ham in their name?
Yeah, either H-A-M
it's just
or
so
H-M,
weird.
Yeah.
It I've is weird.
Like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
I've got so many, Doug. I've got a list that'll make you hungry for green chili if I read it, but I don't want to read it. Okay, you know, so what did this guy do?
Well, he lied. Apparently, all he's been charged with right now, and he has been arrested, he's been charged with basically lying to the FBI about his activities when he went to New York.
What is he, the governor of Illinois?
Who's that?
The guy who's just arrested. Oh, no, he's not the governor. Oh, sorry. Okay, all he's been charged with doing is lying so far.
So far, he's just been lying about, well, they asked him questions about his phone calls, about why did you go to Afghanistan, yeah. why did you come to Queens and meet with all these other terrorists?
So there's a terrorist investigation, and he lied to federal investigators, and so that's a crime.
And his father was arrested because he lied about the one phone call that he made to his son when his son was in New York.
And by the way, when people lie, when there's a murder investigation,
yeah.
and you know, everybody lies, not everybody, but everybody lies in a murder investigation.
That's generally true.
That enrages me. It just yeah. enrages me because the penalty should be so severe if you lie during a murder investigation. It should be severe.
Yeah, everyone should be scared to
and
lie.
The reality is perjury and lying during a murder investigation, it's like you lie with impunity. Doesn't yeah. matter. So this is a rarity.
Well, the punishment for perjury in that case should be equal to, you know, if you lie in a theft case,
you should have to pay restitution.
And if you lie in a murder case, you should be in danger of
losing your
own life. Let's
say your boyfriend is charged with murder and you lie and say, oh, I was with him all night.
Right.
Well, that you're trying to get a murderer to be acquitted.
Right. You're an accomplice.
You should be
at that
charged.
Point.
Yeah. Okay. So this guy, so they're charged initially. It's just a way of holding them.
Right.
They're charged with lying during the investigation.
Just a way to get him into the waterboarding room. Right? Right. Hopefully that's where he's going. Anyway, right. Najibullah, also known as Idrula, he will yeah. not be driving a bus at the Denver International Airport anymore.
He was a shuttle driver, right?
A shuttle bus driver.
Now, that, you know what? That's interesting on a couple levels.
Yeah.
One is we have here, Bob and your live. We've been on the air for all these years. For
18 years?
18 years. But after 9/11, a UPS truck driver told us a story about they got a secure facility at the airport.
Especially after 9/11.
Right, after 9/11. Yeah. And, you know, you could put a bomb in a package that's going on an airline.
Right.
So they got a secure UPS facility at the airport, and therefore it's got a security booth.
Right.
With a security guard around the clock.
Makes sense.
So he drives his big brown truck in, and there's no one in the security booth.
Oh, yeah?
There's nobody there. And he thinks, come on.
This isn't right.
There should be someone here. I mean, they just blew up.
Yeah, yeah.
So he pulls his truck over, and he goes into the security guard booth, and he hears noise in the back of the booth, and he goes back there, and he sees a rug on the ground.
No.
Yeah, and there's some imam-looking guy praying toward Iceland.
Toward Iceland.
They always pray to the northeast because it's a shorter distance to Mecca.
That's right, yeah, the curvature of the earth.
Yeah, but why don't
that.
They pray right through the earth? If you're going to do that, why don't you pray right through the earth?
You'd have a better chance of getting to Muhammad's ears if you were going
quicker.
Through the center of the earth.
It'd be sure. Anyway, they pray to Thor.
So wait a minute, the guard from the guard shack is behind the guard shack on his prayer rug.
Yeah.
Facing Iceland.
He's facing Iceland, and yeah.
Well, that makes me a little nervous. I mean, I guess it was a while back. I'm sure things have slacked off since then as far as security. Yeah. It's probably less secure now.
Right. It seems like they went out of their way to hire Muslims.
It appears that way. And you know, not to be, you know, spreading stereotypes, but there just seems to be an awful lot of people of cover. Is that what they're called? Is that the politically correct?
People of cover?
No, women of cover. Is
of
what
cover.
You, that's what you call Muslim women.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call Muslim men. Men of beard.
Yeah. With just the eyes showing through the burqa.
Yeah. I don't know if there is a politically correct way to mention Islamic gentlemen. But there seem to be a lot of them at airports.
So if I wanted to get into Tim Gill's headquarters, downtown Denver, the homosexual political activist.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Software.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Millionaire.
Billionaire.
Billionaire.
All I'd have to do is get an oversized burqa.
There you go.
Put it on and walk right in. They're not going to
They wouldn't say
profile
a word.
Me.
No, they wouldn't want to profile anyone.
And even if they knew it was a guy under there, what could they possibly say?
It fits right in with their whole MO over there.
Yeah. Okay. So, Doug.
Yeah.
So we have, all right, so the UPS truck driver who called into Bobinert Live 8 years ago warned us that the place is crawling with Muslims that could care less about security. Could care less.
And he felt that this was on the increase, that they'd be just hiring more Muslims to be more politically correct.
And he went to his supervisor to point out the problem.
Yeah.
And they wanted him to go for counseling. That's pretty much.
You're showing a lot of insensitivity there.
That's pretty much the way it goes.
Mr. Driver.
So I'm thankful that the FBI, that they're on this. And I'm thankful.
Yeah, and I hope they catch all of them. Now, quickly, I want to do I got a couple updates. Number one, Bob, do you know, you remember Jeremy Clark came to Denver Bible Church this past weekend.
Missionary from Costa Rica.
Right. Just a phenomenal guy.
Yeah.
A phenomenal young guy with a real heart for the Lord. I don't know
if you're
aware.
He's the founder of a Bible Institute
in Costa Rica. Right. He teaches the Bible.
90 students so far.
He's training future pastors for the entire Latin American region, Lord willing. He dropped off 10 testimonials. Do you know what he uses in his Bible teaching class? You know what book? Besides the Bible.
Yeah.
He uses the Bible.
Reina Valera, Spanish.
Oh.
The Spanish Reina Valera, that's the Bible. That's the number one Bible.
Oh, is that
right? In the Spanish-speaking world.
So he uses that.
But it's
primarily.
Not a 1611 King James, so there's a crisis.
That's a big problem.
But anyway.
But he also.
What is he?
Ancillarily, he uses the plot.
Wow.
That
is so encouraging.
He brought 10 endorsements.
The plot is my life's work.
Yeah.
An overview of the Bible.
Teaches people the big picture, how to understand the details of the Bible that seem confusing by understanding the big picture.
And it was written in English, but we have a Spanish translation.
La trama.
And they use la trama.
Yeah. And we got 10 testimonials, endorsements, basically, of the plot.
From students down at the Bible Institute in Costa Rica. That's very encouraging. Doug,
phenomenal.
And, you know, the telethon, was in Michigan.
Telethon. Yes, while you're in Michigan.
What a tremendous trip.
Yeah.
Jim Pullian's memorial service, got to go on the set of a Hollywood movie being filmed. Special interest there.
Now, what, are they filming Lansing because the taxes are lower?
No.
No?
But special interest there. We don't have to talk about that movie for maybe
from now. And you gave your
Seminar on personhood.
Focus on the strategy.
Very well attended. A lot of excitement in Michigan for personhood.
Yeah.
And we taped 5 local TV shows.
That's why you sounded a little hoarse on Sunday when you came back.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, it was a tremendous trip.
Well, while you were there, we were telling people that you're out there doing the Lord's work, spreading the word about personhood, standing up for the rights of innocent people who are being killed.
And including Jim Pullian.
Including Jim Pullian. And so people continued to give. And I can't remember where we left off last Friday, but it was somewhere in the $20,000.
About $20,000.
Somewhere around there.
When I left, it was around $19,000.
Right. Well, today, as of airtime, we're at $23,179
toward $40,000.
But wait,
our goal is $40,000. We're at $23,000.
We're at $23,000
for the month. There's 9 days to go.
So we're a little behind. We need people to step it up a little
bit,
actually.
Doug, this is exciting.
But listen to this.
Yeah.
We just got a $1,500 match pledge.
What?
So $1,500 has been pledged.
From what state?
But it has to be matched from Indiana.
From Indiana.
Am I right on that? I hope I'm right on that.
$1,500 matching.
Yeah. From
wow. Could you say the name of the person? Or are you not supposed to?
I could if I had more than 4 hours sleep last night.
You're so funny.
All right. We'll ask the staff.
Ask the staff.
Can somebody get the name of the person who pledged the $1,500 matching fund?
I remember his last name, but I don't think we want to give his last name. We want to give just his first name and his town.
Yeah.
And it escapes me at the moment.
All right. That's all right. $1,500 matching fund.
Ralph. It was Ralph. How could I forget Ralph?
Ralph.
Ralph from Indiana.
Last name begins with F.
Yeah. Ralph from Indiana. A $1,500 gift that has to be matched before we can cash it in. So it could become $3,000. It could become $3,000 with one phone call if that person is out there and dials 1-800-836-9278.
Do you mean if somebody matched it somebody called up and said, I'd like to give $1,500. We'd jump up to $25,000. How much are we at now?
We'd be, we'd be over $25,000. We're at $23,179.
We'd be at $26,000 if somebody matched the $1,500.
But let's say you can only give $10. Let's say you can only give $20. Well, it'll be doubled. So now's the time. Today's the day to call. We've got a $1,500 match on the table waiting just for you. So please give us a call, 1-800-836-9278. And so I'm going to set the testimonials aside, but I want you to read these, Bob, because you'll be greatly encouraged.
I'm just thrilled. You know what? We'll try to get this to a Spanish language publisher of theology books.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to publish La Trama.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. There's a lot of Christian superstition in Central America and in Aurora, Colorado.
Aurora, Colorado.
And so the plot is addressing that superstition.
Yeah, it does.
In Colorado, around the country, and in Central America, in Espanol.
Yeah, it'd be great to see it published outside the borders of the United States. That would be tremendous.
Yeah.
All right, now I want to get to some more stories of international import.
All right.
Apparently, what's his name here? Dmitry Medvedev.
Dmitry
Medvedev.
From Russia.
He's the alleged president of Russia.
Alleged president.
Yeah. There's strings attached to his elbows and his knees, but he's apparently the president. Now, he's saying that Israel has promised Russia that they will not launch an attack on Iran.
Yeah, and that's Israel has denied it instantly.
They've denied it.
He said, Israel has promised to me they will not bomb Iran.
And they said, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Where did you hear that?
We will bomb them the first chance we get.
But Medvedev, I want you to listen to this. Medvedev says, the worst thing that could possibly be imagined, he says, is a strike on Iran by Israel. He says that's the worst thing that can be imagined.
How could he possibly say that? Because Iran is run by lunatics, and they're trying to build nuclear weapons.
Yes.
So a nuke being exploded over a major city, I'd say that's worse than blowing up an Iranian missile plant.
Which we would assume that the Israelis would do with conventional weaponry.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're not going to nuke the nuke factories over there. They would use those bunker busters.
I wouldn't totally rule it out. But still, if their target is a facility that's building nuclear weapons, that's way less destructive, and it'd be a valid strike morally, but it's way less destructive than a madman trying to wipe a country off the map by exploding a nuclear weapon on a major city like Tel Aviv.
Yeah, you gotta
or Haifa.
You gotta wonder where Mr. Medvedev's head is when he thinks it's worse.
It's the worst thing he could imagine. Maybe he just doesn't have a good imagination.
Yeah.
You know, when you drink vodka your whole life and you go into stores that have nothing on the shelves, it affects your imagination.
Yeah, you lose the ability to imagine outside the box.
Yeah.
But, you know, Medvedev, they have a lot of oil contracts with Iran. So, you know, they have a different perspective than you or I.
Yeah, but, you know, either way, the price of oil would go through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, either way.
I think Medvedev wouldn't mind that at all.
No, but I'm sure that's true. But, and, you know, Israel is angry that Russia has agreed to supply Iran with anti-aircraft weapons. Mm. And, of course, that would make an attack more difficult.
Oh, yeah.
So the Russians are...
They've been in bed with the Iranians ever since the crazies took over there.
Yeah.
It's as if the Russians always want to be aligned with the madmen and the bad guys.
Right.
Ever since
like
World
Obama.
War II.
You know, we have a hard time in this country figuring out who the good guys and the bad guys are anymore.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. I mean, if you don't want the people who are out-and-out tyrants to have access to nuclear weapons, maybe Obama should unilaterally disarm. Maybe he should. Maybe he should. He's going to chair that UN Security Council meeting.
Yeah.
Maybe he should say that the CIA has determined that I am irresponsible and incapable of managing a nuclear arsenal. So to protect the world from myself, we're going to begin to disarm.
It may be the right thing to do. with this fella.
It's so hard. I mean, you know, for my whole life, I've been against us nuclear disarmament.
Yes.
For America, but...
But hey, Obama's election is a game changer.
I know. You know, it's so confusing.
Don't know who the bad guys are anymore.
No.
All right.
Okay.
I want to get your take on this story. Mm. We've got... Well, do you want to go to the phones? Maybe we should go to the phones.
Well, sure. It's the same phone number for making a pledge, right?
Yeah, 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to line 7. Mark, speak your mind.
Hey, Mark, you're on with Bob Enyart and Doug McBurney. You're calling from Iowa. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
I talked with Doug about a week ago. I don't know if he remembers.
Well, Mark, whenever you call a talk show, just to give us the topic. It doesn't matter if a talk show host remembers a caller or not. Talk show hosts have bad memories.
We have short-term memory loss. Yeah. You got to lay it on us.
Go ahead, Mark.
I had a question about the Lord's Prayer. I was pondering it a while back.
All right.
And I couldn't reconcile the one line in there when Jesus says, "Forgive us not into temptation."
Okay. All right. What a great question. And you're wondering whether or not that means that God normally would put like alcohol in front of a drunk, or for example, because of course God doesn't do that.
Right.
God does not tempt anyone with evil.
Right.
So that is a figure of speech. And I'll give you a different example, all right, from the Bible.
Sure.
Like the Bible says, don't divorce your wife except for adultery, because you'll cause her to commit adultery. Now, that's a little weird, right? How can you cause someone else to commit adultery? You really can't.
Doesn't seem like you could cause someone to commit adultery.
Yeah, you actually can't cause someone to sin. Sin has to be volitional.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
You have to choose it yourself.
Yeah, you do. And so I'll give you examples from the Bible. Like the Bible says, resolve this in Romans 14. Paul writes, do not put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in your brother's way. Well, if you put a cause to fall in your brother's way, it doesn't mean you're forcing him to fall like a cause. It just means you're giving him a stumbling block or a temptation or an opportunity.
Oh.
So if you say to
an excuse.
Or an excuse, right. So if you say to your brother, hey, you know, our church doesn't judge, so we could take money out of the collection plate, and they won't say anything. Right, Mark?
Yeah.
Suddenly the pastor will find out that he does have a backbone.
Yeah.
Turns out that he can judge.
Yeah.
But I'll give you another example. When Jesus said in John 15, they hated me without cause. Right? Without a cause. He's not saying that they weren't forced to hate me. He's just saying that, hey, they didn't have even a provocation. So a cause. So in our Western minds, if we read, if you divorce someone, you're causing them to commit adultery. We get all confused about that, Mark.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to see the thousands of figures of speech that are in Scripture. We tend to take Scripture as though it were written by an uptight lawyer. And it's not. The uptight lawyers were rebuked by the Lord in Scripture. So when Paul says, don't give heed to fables which cause disputes, it's not like the fable causes dispute. You know, it just gives an opportunity for people to dispute. So when the Lord says, we should ask God, don't lead us into temptation, it does not mean that God puts alcohol or immorality or opportunity to steal in front of us. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that we're asking God, Lord God, help us to avoid the situations that lead to temptation. Hmm. Help us to overcome the temptations that are before us. That's what it means, but it's couched in a figure of speech that's just so typical.
That the Hebrew mind wouldn't really have a problem with.
Not at all. Not even one split second. Mm. They would never think, oh no, well, when that Pharisee committed adultery, God must have set it up.
Oh.
They would never think that for one second. Mark, does that make any sense?
Well, it kind of does, but I guess I'm still too much of a Western mind person.
Yeah, lawyers are rebuked in Scripture. And God, you know, when Paul says, look, the Bible says, don't accept anything unless you have two or three witnesses.
Right.
And this is now the second time I'm writing to you, right? When Paul says that, you would probably go crazy. Because you'd say, wait a minute, Paul, that's not what that means. And Paul knows it's not what it means, but he doesn't care. He's just making a point. You don't like that, do you? You don't get that, I mean.
No.
No. But Mark, you're going to have to work on your Eastern mindset. You're going to have to focus on the right half of your brain you're going to want to enjoy the Bible more. The Bible is very literal, and the literal Bible is filled with figures of speech.
Yeah, I understand that part.
Yeah, so that's it. There is no other explanation.
Yeah. Well,
the Lord's Prayer doesn't contradict James 1,
right,
which tells us God does not tempt anyone with evil.
Right.
It's a figure of speech. And people who are intuitives, they're very comfortable with it. People who are censors are miserable their whole lives. So I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, God bless you, Mark.
Well, God bless you guys.
All right, thanks for calling.
Well, that was helpful. I've wondered about that myself.
Yeah.
A figure of speech. Yet another figure of speech in the Bible.
Yeah.
And you've got to know, the better you know the author, the easier it is to recognize.
That's right. We have, and we have a seminar on hermeneutics that Mark could get. We have a seminar, a full-length seminar on hermeneutics, tools for interpreting the Bible, and figures of speech are one of the hermeneutics. We deal with 15 hermeneutics.
Good stuff. Now, how would someone order that?
1-800-8-NYARDS.
Or they could go to kgov.com.
kgov.com.
Search
hermeneutics. I don't know if it's on the...
It is.
Is the hermeneutics
it is.
CD on the store online?
It is.
All right, it is.
I've seen it myself.
Doug said it is.
Yes.
Staff said it is.
We've got two or three witnesses.
It is. Two or three witnesses.
It's on there.
I mean, Paul's funny, you know, when he does that.
Yeah.
But people think...
Paul can be a little tricky sometimes to understand if you know...
If you're an attorney.
But I don't think Mark's an attorney.
If you're an attorney where you look like an attorney... You're going to have a hard time just being human.
Well, so many of us, as we go through our education experience here in the United States, in the West in general, have been taught to think more like lawyers than like poets.
Right.
Or like writers.
And, right. And the Lord is, you know, he's the world's leading poet.
Yeah.
God inspired the book of Psalms. The book of Job is poetry.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's literal. But as people speak literally, their speech is peppered with figures.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean there's pepper in it, Doug? If your speech is peppered with figures, it doesn't mean there's pepper in it.
Well, let me analyze that.
And it doesn't mean there's carvings in it.
No, you're right.
Figurines.
That...
So
good
anyway.
Good point. Now, we're almost out of time. I don't know if you can give... I want to talk about this gentleman... Well, no, we can't.
We're out of time.
We'll do it tomorrow.
So, $23,000. The goal is $40,000.
We got a $1,500 match. Call now.
$1,500 match.
Yeah.
That's significant. And in Arvada, Colorado, Maranatha Christian Center. What a great school. And our website is kgov.com. God bless you.